Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Hey, Bob.
I was at a radio reunion a couple of weeks ago. Was hoping to see you there, but I saw a picture of you when you worked with Cajun Ken in the morning.
On B97.
Right. Big old head of dark, full black hair.
Oh, God. Black hair? No, wait a minute.
Well, dark. Dark.
It was darker. Dark, yes, you know. Much darker.
I was just amazed. Chris Bryant, I thought maybe you work with him, showed me the picture. He said, "Do you know who that guy is?" I said, "I recognize him."
Sure do.
Looks like he's related to David Blake.
Isn't you know? That something? Yeah, old Cajun Ken in those days. Yeah, that was a good time.
Man, I wake up this morning. I think things can't get any worse. I mean, it's been nothing but bad news after bad news. And a child gets taken away in Disney World by a gator.
It's unbelievable.
How is that possible?
It's just, and at a upscale, not that it makes any difference,
right.
But the Floridian, the Grand Floridian.
Great
one
hotel.
Of the big, big, nice upscale resort hotels there. Families out sitting around having a good time in the evening, and the kid is just barely had the feet in the water. And
Well, what I can't understand about that, I mean, I don't know where Disney's responsibility comes in. I know they had a sign that said no swimming, but if you brought your kids to a resort area like that, one sign says no swimming, the other says gator warning. No swimming. Well, go ahead and put your feet in the water. That's really no big thing. That's not bad. Gator warning. I'm going to keep my kids away from the water. I live in Oak Harbor, and I live off the water. And from time to time, we get gators in there, okay? So therefore, when my little dog goes in the backyard, we keep an eye. We say, hey, a gator could come at any time. And if we do spot a gator, that's it. The dog stays inside until St. Tammany sends their alligator guy out to take the gator. And I'm not trying to dog Disney because, you know, we only have the first reports out of that. But should Disney be responsible to do more than say no swimming when they know there are gators around?
Sounds like the warning needs to be much firmer.
I would think so. Thank you, David.
All right, buddy.
All right. We have a whole bunch of things to talk about this morning. We will take a break right now. When we come back, we'll lay out for you what's on our WWL Talk table. It's 12 minutes after 6 o'clock. I'm Bob Mitchell in for Tommy Tucker on WWL.
I believe that meaningful, responsible gun control is part of Homeland Security, and it's something we have to address.
Just days after the Orlando nightclub massacre, Homeland Security Secretary Johnson says that gun control is now a critical element of protecting the U.S. homeland and keeping America safe. As he just said, we have to face that meaningful gun control as a part of Homeland Security. We need to do something to minimize the opportunity for terrorists to get a gun in this country. Now, the 1994-2004 ban has expired on assault weapons. After the Orlando shootings, Hillary Clinton has called for the ban to return and link the easy availability of semi-automatic weapons to terrorism. She says you've got to keep weapons off our streets, as well as blocking special terrorists from buying guns. On the other side of the fence, Donald Trump says more guns could have mitigated the deadly terrorist attack in Orlando and that he does not favor banning so-called assault weapons. The gunman in Orlando was actually licensed to carry a gun, says Trump. So for all of those people that want to have people go out and get licensed, here's an example that someone went out, got licensed, and was able to get a gun. So here we go again. Do you want more gun control? Does this recent massacre make you flip-flop on the issue? Is this a homeland security issue? My concern, if it becomes a homeland security issue, I guess depending upon how much power homeland security has, but if homeland security says, well, you know, this is an issue to our security. And then it seems to me that could give them the right to take a lot of guns away. That I don't like. Now, Donald Trump says that in a situation like what happened in the Orlando Club, if other people had guns, then they could have stopped the gunman. Here's something I want you to think about. If you were in a situation like the Orlando shooting, approximately 300 people in a club, would you pull your gun and start shooting, or would you do what I believe most people would do? They would run. I would get out of there. So give me your thoughts on this at 504-260-1870. And again, we want to talk about the shocking story in the news this morning. A child. I think the child, I'll give you the facts after our next break. I think the child is about 2 years old, was dragged off by an alligator. Now, Disney did not have alligator warning signs up. Disney had no swimming, and the child obviously should not have been in the water. But I think me as a parent, I would have a tendency to say, well, you know, it's very shallow here. If you want to walk right here in the water, that's okay. But if I saw signs up that gator warning, do not get in the water, there are gators here, I think I would be a lot more careful with my child and not let them go anywhere near the water. 504-260-1870. You can text me at 870-870. 19 minutes after 6 o'clock, traffic time on WWL. 623, Bob Mitchell in for Tommy Tucker this morning. Let me give you the facts in case you were just waking up and did not hear about another tragedy in Orlando where a 2-year-old boy was dragged away at Disney by an alligator. The search continuing early today for that 2-year-old boy. He was dragged in the water at the Disney World, one of the Disney World hotels last night. A Disney spokesman, of course, says that Disney is devastated. I would hope so. The boy was with his family playing in about a foot of water when the gator, described as 4 to 6 or 7 feet long, suddenly grabbed him. Imagine what these parents feel at this point. The boy's father ran into the water to try to help, and his mother may have as well, but lifeguards said, you know, nothing could be done to save the boy, no matter how hard they tried. There were no swimming signs at the scene. Now, I don't know at this point, because everything is much too soon, I don't know if Disney is basically saying, well, there were no swimming signs. Well, again, as a parent, you have your kids there, and they want to play in the water, and you look at the no swimming signs, and you say, all right, tell you what, you can just dip your feet in that really shallow water. But if there were signs up warning there could be gators in this water, as a parent, that would change the whole thing. And again, I'm not trying to beat up on Disney because we do not know everything. But I would have to think there should be better signs up if you know that gators can get in this water than just no swimming. Let's take a call from John in Metairie. How are you, John?
Good morning, Bob. How you doing?
John, first thought on this gator situation in Orlando. If there were gators in the water, if they knew there was a possibility to have gators in the water, should they have better signage up than just no swimming?
Well, I agree with that, but the way I was hearing it on the news this morning, that it's like a beach, mm-hmm. like a beach area where the family was relaxing. That's what the sheriff, one of the sheriff's spokesmen was saying on the news. I mean, the gators could have came out the water and grabbed them, too. I mean, how deep was he in? A foot. Less than a foot?
A foot.
Yeah, he was just... But there, in the water.
But my point is there were no swimming signs, and I would think that maybe if you were afraid that a gator could possibly hurt one of your guests, one of your children, I would think that it would be better to have warning gators in the water, something like that. That's just my first thoughts.
Yes, but not only that, they do have people at canoe at the Wilderness Forest, mm-hmm. The Wilderness Inn on Disney, and they also have people that go fishing. So what happens if they would fall in the water? Off an alligator, because they can reach up and grab chicks.
Sure,
on those gator programs.
Right.
If they grab the kid off of a pontoon boat or something. You know, half a dozen one way, six another. it might have prevented the parents from letting them go put his feet in the water.
That's my point. That's my point right there. You made my point.
Possibly, but you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, As I mentioned earlier, we live off the water in Slidell, and from time to time we get gators in the water back there. So therefore, we have to be very, very careful. When our grandkids were much younger, we have to be very careful when they visited. We have to be very careful when a dog goes out in the water, because not always, we might see one every couple of years. In fact, we saw one a couple of weeks ago. My neighbor and I saw one. Had to really watch the animals then, but... I appreciate you calling, John. Anything else you want to add to the show?
Just wanted to say that, I believe they found a 4 or 5 foot alligator in Kenner a week or so ago.
I believe so.
And it was in the street under a person's car. So, hey, look.
They're sneaky creatures.
Yeah, well, they want to go where food is.
That's right. That's right. So. John, thank you for phoning in this morning.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Let me go ahead and read a couple of text messages, because one of the questions I asked early this morning in relation to what happened in Orlando, if you were in a situation like that, you were in a club, about 300 people, someone starts shooting, if you had a gun with you, because it's one of the things that Donald Trump is saying, he said that if more people carried guns and stuff like this, if there had more people carrying guns in Orlando, that things would not have been as bad as it was. So if you were in that situation, would you pull your gun and start shooting, or would you just run? Let me go ahead and give you a couple of text messages on that. If I had a clear shot, I'd blow his brains out. Okay. He may have had a license, but he was on the FBI watch list. The FBI failed and has the blood of 50 people on their hands. I have a concealed carry license. I would have gone down fighting for my life as well as other life. I don't know. It seems to me in a situation like that, with everything closed in now, I guess if you were a professional or you had a license and you were well-trained not only in shooting, but how to react when something breaks out, I would think that if you had several people in there shooting, especially with the lights low, you might not know who the shooter is. So I would worry about that. Text message: did you hear about the mosque in Orlando promoting the killing of gays? They say it's the compassionate thing to do. Yes, I absolutely did, and that's one of the things that we do want to work into the discussion this morning. The tolerance on things like that. I guess that comes under freedom of speech. And one of the things that Donald Trump has been talking about is putting the ban on people that come from countries that are connected to terrorism, either in this country or our allies. And, do we want people who have that type of philosophy to come into our country? Now, if they're here already, there's not too much we can do about that. And I'm not quite sure. I guess we would have to have some type of attorney on the air to let me know what is legal and what is not. Does that come under freedom of religion? I don't know. But do you have right in church to promote the killing, the slaughter of one group of people? I don't think so. All right, if you want to be part of the show this morning, it's 260-1870. It's 6:30, time for news with David Blake on WWO. Thank you, Dave. One thing about sitting on the couch as much as I do, when I come back, there's just so many things going on and so many things to talk about. It's unreal.
Yeah, the pace is, we call it ride the lightning in the morning. And it's pretty heavy.
Yeah, and I always come in with a stack of things. I can't get to a fraction of them, you know?
Yeah, great ideas. They never make it.
Thank you, Dave.
Sure.
All right, let me take a quick phone call from Randy. Randy, thank you for calling WWL.
Good morning.
You wanted to comment on if you were in a situation like the people were in the Orlando nightclub and you had a gun, how you would react?
That's correct. I'm a permit holder and I have many hours of self-defense training. Now, I think in a situation like that, everybody is going to be faced with a flight or fight scenario. And depending on your circumstances, if you have a lot of family members with you or friends with you, most people, and I use that generally, would opt for the flight. Mm-hmm. You want to protect your family. You want to protect yourself. You want to get out of there. And another thing, if you're, when you're faced with a situation where you have to use force on force to neutralize a threat such as that, you have to be aware of collateral damage. You know, the law doesn't justify you for collateral damage in a situation like that. And in a theater where it's dark, you have no clear shot, there's no target acquisition, it's very hard to discriminate between who the target is and who an innocent bystander would be. So I think it would be kind of a judgment call, but there were also some people who I understand were rounded into a bathroom, mm-hmm. or the shooter went into a bathroom.
Correct.
You know, in a situation like that, if you're by yourself and you're able to get a good, clear path, then I think you would be justified.
Well, here's my assessment. For someone like me, or someone that has had limited gun training, I just don't know emotionally if you could pull that gun and make the right decisions. If you were a trained police officer, a trained military person, you might be able to make the assessment without panic and sit there and try to determine what's going on. But just to pull your gun and start shooting, I just don't see many people doing that. I don't see the advantage to that.
I agree. And most of your classes that you're required to take to obtain your concealed permit, it's an 8-hour course. Very little is taught during that course, and a lot of it has to come down to multiple hours of training, not only training on a range, physically training with your weapon, but also a lot of mental training has to go into it. And you have to train in situations like that, such as in a shoot house. I've been fortunate enough to be invited to participate in some shoot houses to where you actually go in, you have targets popping up, and you have to discriminate between what is a target, what could be a possible.
Randy, do you believe in a nationwide ban on assault weapons?
No, I do not.
What about background checks on all gun buyers?
I believe in background checks, yeah. But see, as far as the assault rifle, that's a big contention for me because that's a misnomer. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that it should be labeled an assault rifle.
Well, a new CBS poll, as far as Americans, 89% want background checks on all gun buyers, and now 57% say they want a national ban on assault weapons. We will take a break and come back with more of your phone calls at 641, 19 minutes before 7 o'clock. I'm Bob Mitchell, in for Tommy Tucker on WWL.
Meaningful, responsible gun control is now part and parcel of Homeland Security. It's critical to public safety, but we have to face the fact that meaningful, responsible gun control has to be part of Homeland Security as well, given the prospect of homegrown, homeborn violent extremism in this country.
And that is Homeland Security Secretary Johnson. Hillary Clinton has called for a ban to a return on semi-automatic weapons. On the other side of the fence, Donald Trump says more guns could have mitigated the deadly terrorist attack in Orlando. And we're going to speak next to the Director of Communications for the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, Ladd Everett. Ladd, thank you for being part of our show this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Number one, how about giving me the defining message for your organization?
In the wake of this tragedy?
Yes.
Well, you know, I think the sad thing here is that, you know, the shooter that we're talking about here, Omar Mateen, was a quote-unquote good guy with a gun, mm-hmm. Under NRA parlance. This was a gentleman who legally bought his firearms despite a lengthy history of violence known to virtually everyone around him, and he had a concealed handgun permit.
And the background checks would have shown the violence, right?
No, he passed a background check.
That's
because,
what I,
because the bar to pass a background check in this country is so ridiculously mm-hmm. low. And he got a concealed handgun permit from the state of Florida, despite, again, a lengthy history of violence and a zillion red flags in his background. So, you know, that to me is the big takeaway here, that, you know, this notion that by somehow arming more people like Omar Mateen, who have lengthy history of violence, and encouraging them to engage in shootouts when someone starts firing, that we're going to make our country safer. This is just, it's an insane rabbit hole.
Now, should the background checks on gun buyers be left up to the states, or should there be more federal guidelines on this?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, you know, there's certain things we need to do at the federal level. You know, number one, making sure there's a background check, at least some type of background check on every sale. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also important to understand that the more local a check is, the better it's going to be. When the original Brady bill was debated in the mid-90s, one of the concessions the NRA was able to win to weaken the bill was to get an amendment to transform the system to simply an instant computer check within 4 years of the bill's passage. Originally, the bill was supposed to involve local actual background checks by law enforcement officers at that level, which are much better and which are much more likely to turn up the type of obvious history we saw in the case of the Orlando gunman. Right now, all we have is an instant computer check. It pings a database that the FBI runs. Sometimes states submit disqualifying records to that database. Sometimes they do. But it's also important to realize that the prohibited categories for gun buyers were drawn up in 1968. They're badly out of date, and the bar to clear that is very low.
See if you can explain this to me. How did such an evil man like this, with the background that he had, that he had been called in by the FBI twice, how did an evil man like this pass the background check and was able to get these weapons?
Because the key element here is that law enforcement does not have discretion to deny someone who has an obvious history of violence. The reason that Mateen went through is that although he viciously beat his wife and her family had to rescue her from him, his ex-wife, he was never under an active restraining order. She was apparently so terrified of him that she never sought such an order. Despite the fact that he was making threats to coworkers that brought in the FBI, there's nothing within our system that categorizes such types of threats as prohibiting you from buying guns. And he also, by the way, apparently, well, we know now, told at least two people that he was going to commit mass murder. One was his wife, who apparently tried to talk him down from this, and another one was a coworker of his, a security guard he met with. This is very similar to the Aurora shooting where James Holmes told his psychiatrist that he was going to commit mass murder. And there is nothing, even when you state you are going to commit a mass shooting, that would stop you from legally stockpiling guns in this country. So it's an insane system that in every case prioritizes making a gun sale as quickly as possible without checking for obvious signs of violent history.
Lad, I've got to run to a break. Let me ask you this. How would you change the procedure to purchase guns from where we have right now?
Two things. Short term, we need more interventions like gun violence restraining order policies where family members and law enforcement are able to go before a judge to petition to have firearms temporarily removed from someone in crisis. And then long term, we need to take a serious look at our current instant computer background check system. We need to ask ourselves, is it time to emphasize public safety a little bit more and maybe check a little bit more thoroughly, in part by redrawing the prohibited categories for gun buyers that are now so terribly outdated?
Donald Trump says if more people had guns in that club and could have used them, things would have been different. What do you say?
I say that the guy that was committing a shooting was a good guy with a gun. Omar Mateen had a concealed handgun permit. So this idiotic notion from the NRA now becomes that we're going to arm more Omar Mateens to stop a guy like Omar Mateen from committing a mass shooting. That is utterly asinine. If you can design a system that could ensure anyone in this country at this point that someone with a concealed handgun permit would actually be a good guy and not have a huge history of violence like Omar Mateen, I'd be happy to listen to that proposal. That's not where we are, particularly not in Florida, where George Zimmerman still has a handgun permit.
Lad Everett, thank you for being part of the show this morning.
Thank you.
Lad is the Director of Communication for the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. It's 6:53. I'm Bob Mitchell, and here's a traffic check on WWL. 6:58, Bob Mitchell in for Tommy Tucker on WWL. We're going to go to Jeff and Harvey, who wants to make a comment about what happened at Disney World. A two-year-old child was dragged from the water by an alligator. Basically, Disney said, sorry, but we had no swimming signs posted. I would think they would have a little bit more. What do you say, Jeff?
I totally agree. It should have been they should be held more accountable. You said no swimming signs, that's all they had?
Right. And I have a text message here that says, no swimming means no swimming. So how much of this do we put on the parents?
I don't think we would let them, Scott, clean off the hook. A two-year-old, I think the parents should have been. I don't know how far away they were.
Well, they must have been pretty close because the dad did try to save the boy. I mentioned earlier this morning, you know, if I were in that situation, I probably would allow my child to, well, you know, you can walk here in the shallow part of the water. The kid was only in, I think, about a foot of water. Again, it's just me. If gator warning signs were up, I wouldn't even let him go near the water.
So they did not have gator warning signs?
No, they did not have gator warning signs. Just said no swimming.
No swimming. Oh, boy, I don't know. It's a tragedy. It's a sad thing.
It is. Can you imagine the horror they all went through?
Oh, boy. I can only imagine. No parent should have to go through stuff like that.
Jeff, I appreciate you phoning in. I wish I could talk to you longer, but I do have to go to news. David Blake is standing by, and we will come back with more of your phone calls right after the top of the hour news on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.